Every one of us is shaped by the culture around us. Now, that's true whether we're talking geographically or just the people groups, the things that you're a part of, whether you're inside the church or outside the church. And if you're inside the church, there's a lot of different cultures there. And what'll happen when a lot of times when there's disagreement in a group, it comes because the culture of that group is different from the culture of another group. And so sometimes we have a hard time navigating that. So we thought it would be important, especially talking about church culture, to take a practical look at what is culture and what is actually biblical. And it might ruffle a few feathers, I'll be honest, but our goal isn't to ruffle feathers. Our goal in this episode is to get us to think more on, are we operating from a place of a culture or something that we're used to from our upbringing, or what the Bible actually says about something? This is Christian Culture versus the Bible. It's Considerate Joy.
See if it sparks joy in you.
Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Considerate Joy, the official podcast of 88.3 Life FM, hosted by myself, Mr. Aaron Perlman.
That's right, sir, right next to you.
Also known as the Afternoon Joyride. And as always, well, not always, as much as we can, we like to invite a guest into the studio. Today we brought in returning.
Yeah.
You are our first returning guest, I just realized, Mr. Cecil Ramos.
Ramos, thank you. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, fellas.
Yeah. Cecil was a part of a couple of episodes ago talking about being a missionary and what that means.
Global worker.
We talk about changing the phrasing.
Man, and it's so funny because I still call you a missionary. I try, it's man. Right. Global hey, worker.
There's grace.
How about global servant?
I like that even better.
I think global
that
servant.
That is pretty good. Better. Go listen to the episode, everyone, if you want to hear about that. No, we're actually here to talk about something else, but I think it fits in well because when you were in last time, we talked a little bit about culture differences. So to set it up again, Cecil, you and your family, you've been global workers Thailand for a decade now. And so I think you're in a great place to talk about this with us. So every person is shaped by culture around us, right? And there are even those that would say, no, not me. I'm not shaped by culture. I'm my own man or whatever. But the truth is you actually are. Mm-hmm. We are all shaped by culture. Mm-hmm. And so you take a look at it and there's the macro scale. So let's talk West culture versus East culture and how, because it's not just food and style.
Right.
It's the way we process information.
Exactly.
It's the way things happen. So in the West, we are much more individualistic, focused society. If I have it right, in the East, it's a little more community type, right?
Very communal, absolutely.
Yeah. So you start on that scale once you start talking about culture. And as you start walking backwards from that, it goes not just from, you know, hemispheres. Mm-hmm. Then you bring it down to, say, one country, to America. But we know there's different cultures within the different areas.
Exactly.
And then within that, then you have your different belief systems. You have your different regional things. You even have fandoms that develop their own cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start walking down that path, I think you start to realize that culture actually shapes everything, including ourselves in whatever of those compartments or categories that we find ourselves in. So I thought it would be a lot of fun to discuss the idea of Christian culture versus the Bible.
Mm.
Because how often have you run into a situation, or whether it's a church or a discussion or whatever, that is all about taking a stance on something or growing up around something that ultimately you don't realize till later. It's like, wait a second, maybe that wasn't even a biblical thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a cultural thing. And some of that, that's where you get some of the deconstructionism that comes in and that sort of stuff. So I wanted to start us off talking about some of that. Let's talk about what culture actually is. So I did the homework.
Mm,
I spent about 14 seconds Googling the definition.
Praise God. This is gonna be good.
Of culture, which is the customs, art, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is a big word. Say it one more time.
It is the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group.
I'm curious, does it give a time frame for that? Because I think and maybe I'm jumping off of this, but I feel like culture changes with every generation.
I think there's
a generational shift.
I think so. I think it's fair to say that that's another element of culture change.
It's multifaceted.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like, I'll just take Star Wars in character. Star Wars created a culture, a way that people see movies, fandoms, what we look at when it comes to, you know, geek culture. But you look at it today, it's not as strong as it was.
Right.
Say it was in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. Now it's a different group of culture. Kids like different things now than they did back then.
Yeah. And even the way we view fandom since we were in, say, high school. And in part, okay, so let's take the Star Wars thing.
Okay.
Right now, you and I don't know, were you a big Star Wars fan back in the day, Cecil?
I've been always a fan, probably never as big as you guys.
Okay.
So I mean, when we grew up, we didn't think there'd be anything else after the 1983 Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And then there was this period of time where there was nothing, and then eventually some novels came out, and we were excited. And then rumors started swirling,
there was a locked safe with three scripts in there of prequels and then another three scripts of what happened after. We always wondered what it was, and then came the prequels.
Come on.
And so here again, you have a cultural shift, even in something dumb and goofy like that, right? It's not dumb. It's awesome.
Yes.
Where it's just your fans of this movie franchise from the 70s and 80s, and that's what you knew. And now there's this, like, for a generation, there's always been Star Wars. There's not been a time where there wasn't Star Wars.
Right.
They have no idea what that experience is, which shapes the way they view it.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these factors, and the reason I wanted to do all of that is to kind of get this idea throughout the podcast that we are shaped by culture, including Christian culture, and identifying that. And not that we are all immune to it in this room on this podcast, but even us recognizing that sometimes it's like, oh, okay, because we, another cultural thing, right, in America, we love to be right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily want to learn. Mm. We just want to make sure the other person knows that we are right. Mm-hmm. And so let's start with, if you think back, we all were around the church, right, pretty much throughout our upbringing. What is something that, as you look back now, you realize was a total church culture? It wasn't biblical. Doesn't mean it was bad.
Right.
But you look back now, and, you know, as a kid or in Sunday school, this is what church is. This is what, you know, faith is. And you look now, it's like, no, it isn't at all. Does anything come to mind?
Yeah. There's a lot of things. And what I want to say, just to preface, what I hope and pray is that people who come out of this, listen to this podcast, would have an appreciation and also a humility as it pertains to, like, their own view and interpretation, as you're saying, of just saying, hey, okay, it's broader than just me. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, many of you guys know my story. Grew up Catholic for the first, you know, 20 years of my life, and then last 21 years, very much more Protestant evangelical. Also, the organization I'm a part of, MB, Mennonite Brethren, does not mean mostly Baptist, but Mennonite Brethren. but I think when you even say the word church, I think in my mind frame, for the first 20 years, it's a big cathedral. It's a big cathedral Catholic church, you know, stained glass windows, priests, robes, like it's all that. It's very traditional, very reverent, very holy. It's a sacred space, right, with sacred water and the whole structure. In the past 21 years, you know, I'm thinking kind of more more modern, more hip, you know, worship and just, you know, all these things, the structure of it.
But that's different for you because you came from Catholic, then you went to Protestant.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So I think that shift also has happened for me last 21 years that you guys probably just grew up your whole lives in. And then maybe the past decade or so really shifting also of like, but is that when Jesus talked about ecclesia, when he talked about church, did he have that in mind? Did he have like the cathedral in mind? Did he have, you know,
did he have those
sanctuaries,
those type of architect?
Right. Exactly.
That, you know, you have to go to church wearing a certain type of dress.
Yeah.
You have to come into church wearing no hat, having a hat. I mean, how many times have you gone into church today, any Protestant church, that you see someone up on stage wearing a hat? Like worship team in particular. So I lead worship at church, and I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me and say, how dare you wear a beanie when you're leading worship? Or how come the person who's playing electric guitar is wearing flip-flops?
Yeah.
That's not reverent.
Right.
Well, what is reverent to God?
Right.
If you're giving him his, your best.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's about
that's,
the heart.
But that's the culture shift, right?
Yeah,
like
for
the,
sure.
The culture shift, like I grew up in the Assembly of God when I was young, and everybody's wearing suits. Everybody, it's just funny. So this is the church culture, right?
Yeah.
You're wearing suits.
Right.
You got the tie. Mm-hmm. You got to be super reverent. Mm-hmm. It's okay to jump up and down and do all that stuff. During the week, never see him in a suit and tie.
Hmm.
And that's when you're at church. You're just, you know, different attire, different clothes. But only on Sunday is that that attire needed.
Mm.
What? Shouldn't right. you want to give God your best every day?
Right.
So it's okay. I don't know. In my opinion, I've always thought,
yeah.
I can break out of that culture. I don't right. have to. It's okay to not be in that culture of certain attire.
Right.
I just need to, this is just me thinking that I just, my best is who I am every day. It's the person, not the clothes.
Exactly. I think what he said at the end, I feel like I want to underscore that when you said it's about the person. Because I think even coming back to the West, when I hear certain language, and we all do it, and I don't think it's a sinful thing, but even the phrase, see you at church, or go to church, or bring your friends to church.
Yeah.
What we mean is the physical space building I give you the address to.
Right.
But my understanding, going back from our culture to biblical culture, I think when Jesus is talking about ecclesia, he's actually talking about the person, the individual, the heart, the collection of believers, the family of God, right? And so I think even that concept of like church culture, when you ask someone what that is, they'll probably start describing many of the things that you describe. So for me, that's shift, especially
yeah.
being in Southeast Asia.
Well, yeah, go to a church. Like think of it too, like the fact that you go to a high school. It's not your cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
People tear down, set up churches inside high schools or movie theaters. Church looks so different. It's not a The building is structured. It's just a group of people.
Mm. And so one of the things that will play into, I guess, the problem of being so focused on the culture is you start putting those cultural expectations on other people.
Exactly.
Because you're not recognizing that it's cultural,
right.
not biblical. And this is where you get into all that stuff, whether it's wearing flip-flops, you know, to church or on stage, or the style of music, or why do they have to make it a show? Why do they need a smoke machine? Or on the other hand, like, why can't they update their music? Why yep. why can't they bring things to modern day?
Or why are they not playing hymns?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
church,
sure.
Or you have to have a hymn.
Yep.
Because
yep.
that's the culture that is created there.
Or the metric we choose to judge with, because I'm great at this. I'll just be honest. There will be something that, you know, catches my attention. I'm like, yeah. That's dumb. Why you guys do it like that? We had a podcast with Jay DeMarcus from Rascal Flatts, and we were
nice.
Talking.
That's
about,
a name drop right there.
It was,
that
yeah. Worldwide superstar.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But Jay, we're talking to you, bro.
Yeah, that's right.
So we talked about this idea of success and faith.
Yeah.
And he brought that up because obviously been very successful mm-hmm. and made a lot of money because of what he's done. And he said, you know, honestly, for me, I don't care if my pastor is wearing a suit that mm. is $3,000.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, right now, anybody listening to that, it probably could have triggered you one way or another.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah, who cares? Or no, you could have you don't need to spend that much on a suit. And I'm not here to get into whether or not or like what budgets
right.
we should have for
yeah.
suits for pastors. But I do think there's a place of what led to that.
Mm.
What's the culture behind it? What is he, you know, and we're quick to pick the thing
mm.
that is easy. And I think that's an easy one when we talk about the Instagram account, Preachers of Sneakers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in that one. I was like, look at this guy.
Too. I did too.
And there's room to discuss it.
Right.
I'm not justifying any of it, but
right.
I think I am saying where we like to find the easy ones that we can point at and pass a quick judgment, because that's the safe one to pass judgment on.
I think this is the whole thing here. Like, Christian culture is a place to judge, like, depending on what the situation is. Like, pastors with sneakers, what's that called?
Yeah, preachers
right.
with sneakers.
Yep.
Preachers
with
sneakers.
Yep.
So, like, my pastor, he used to work at the Nike outlet, and his favorite thing to do is basketball. His favorite player is Michael Jordan.
Yep.
So he bought, you know, half off, because he was the guy who ran the outlet store.
Oh, nice.
So he got he has every Jordan. Like, he's got every shoe.
Let's
but
go.
He doesn't have the money, but
right.
he worked at the outlet store.
Right. Yeah.
So when you see him on stage, he's always embarrassed to wear them. I'm like, no, wear them. That's your thing. It's your favorite thing, right?
Right.
So it's, and by the way, By the way, who knows that he's wearing Jordans? I don't know. I have no idea about shoe wear.
Right. Yeah.
I am dumb about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My wife is just happy that I match my clothes.
Yeah. barely at that.
Finally got past like the Bugle Boy shirts last year.
Alligator. What's so the alligator
I was
guy?
Happy about that. But so culture bleeds into all this because we're kind of jumping around because now we're on judging and what people do or don't do. But I think it's all kind of connected in mm-hmm. that way. And again, this isn't to justify any of it or say anything goes. That's the other, you know, way that we could overcorrect.
Right.
But it's when we leave out the context or the reasons or the heart behind something.
Let me ask you. I know you get some questions. I was curious, though. In Thailand, there is a very limited structure of what church is like
yeah.
in Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is the Christian culture like in Thailand?
So that's interesting. It's not as complex or multifaceted as it is in the States, but what we have from the States when we send over like missionaries and bring in the gospel, they also bring a lot of the American culture, a lot of the things that you guys have has been exported to where we are, right?
And like the way you do worship,
the way you do like the head pastor, you know what I mean? It's a cultural thing. I remember looking head or lead pastor, and I'm not saying that it's wrong or sinful. Most every church, you know, around has a head or lead pastor, but you actually don't exactly see that language in the New Testament. Nowhere do you see the head pastor or lead pastor. You see pastor and leaders, and
yeah.
Jesus is the head shepherd of all the church, right? But anyhow, that's fine. Or the head pastor or pastors in general need to even go and have a biblical seminary degree. They need to be ordained. Like a lot of that is very much like a cultural thing here in the West, but that's also come to Thailand. But I think in Thailand also, as we're having these discussions, the leaders in Thailand are also having these discussions of looking back and looking at the scripture and saying, do our leaders actually, do we need to take them out of their community and send them to like a Bible college or seminary for 3 or 4 years in a place that they can't really afford and then try to come back and, you know, be a leader in their community? They have lost that time. They're very disconnected. Can we not just raise them up and just teach them, you know, disciple them in the local church in order to be a leader, to be a pastor, to be a church planter? So some of that organic way yeah. is actually where we're kind of getting back to, and we're having these exact discussions in Southeast Asia.
And you do that here, and you look side by side to the person that maybe got a master's or one or whatever, right? And did seminary, and the person who didn't but feels called to it. Mm. And the quick thing, and even like right now in my head, it's like, well, yeah, but one really studied. You know what I mean? Like that's the, but you're right, because the Bible doesn't put a qualifier on an education process, and he may work very differently in how that happens. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with going to seminary, but also means there's not necessarily anything wrong if God has moved in someone's life to lead and shepherd, you know, in a particular way.
What's the body of Christ?
And again, listen, like, all within the proper context,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, like, because you get to be like, oh, but what if the guy is leading everyone straight to hell? Okay, well, we're not talking about that guy.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
We're talking about the culture and the decisions based on it. I was thinking how, you know, this, how we like to pick and choose sometimes. I was thinking about, you know, because we're in Christian radio.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about some of the music I grew up, Sunday school music. I don't know if you guys will remember some of the songs.
I will never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry,
shoot the artillery. So, weird song. I get it. It's a kid's song.
It's a kid's song.
But then there's that, or there's the one, if I had a little black box to put my devil in, I'd take him out and punch his face and put him back again.
What?
If I had
really?
A little white what? Box to take my to put my Jesus in, I'd take him out and kiss his face and share him with my friends. Okay.
I've never heard that.
Really?
Song.
Have you not?
I've never heard that song.
That wouldn't be a song. See, the marching in the infantry, that makes sense because you talk, there's the army of God, there's biblical reference to that.
Sure.
That's a little bit different.
It's a cultural thing.
So it's cultural, but even that weird military one is a bizarre song. Shoot the artillery, like
no, you're shooting artillery.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not people. No.
Right.
But I get
know.
It. I get it.
I know. The point is, it's a yeah. terrible song,
yeah, yeah.
And we look back and I think, as a kid in Sunday school, we don't think twice about this.
Right.
But in some cases, the same person that does like it's a kid's song. It's a metaphor. listens to Reckless Love, like, well, hold on there.
Right.
It's not reckless.
Right.
So we're okay with a little creative freedom in kids shooting the artillery.
Exactly.
But we're not okay. You know
with
what I
reckless
mean?
Reckless love.
Yeah, with the creative aspect of God.
Right. Love. And those are often going to be shaped by your background, and all of those things are going to lead you to choose one or the other. We're, again, trying to drive that point home. I think in large part...
I'm still curious. What is the words to the song that you're saying?
You got to send it to us.
We've never heard this.
It was... So the visuals are, you have two boxes, a white box and a black box, which... Okay.
Well, one, you know,
we could do another podcast on why they did it that way.
No.
Sketchy.
It's always in cowboys and Indians back in the day. The guy with the white hat is the
right.
good guy.
Yeah. Right.
The bad exactly.
Guy. And there's a lot of sketchiness in
right,
that.
Right.
So you had, if I had a little black box to keep the devil in, I'd take him out and it would vary: punch his face or smash his head.
Wow.
And put him back again.
Wow.
If I had a little white box to put my Jesus in, I'd take him out and you'd either say kiss his face, or they would just say, I'll take him out and share him with my friends.
Here's what's funny with that is, like, you were correct on the fact that the people that would probably teach their kids that, no offense, to they're the ones that would be upset with Reckless Love. For some reason, that lines up to me.
Right.
And the people that don't like that song are the people that like Reckless Love.
Right.
But oftentimes it isn't. Oftentimes it's because most of us don't look, you know, I feel like Sunday school gets a little bit of a pass.
Right.
Because sometimes, and I don't want to drive us too wildly into other topics.
No, it's totally fine.
But there's songs that have some real questionable theology, and even real questionable when you actually look at what they say, like, that's maybe not okay.
Right.
But we say, okay, well, kids song, whatever. It's the intentions are good. But we don't give that same thing to whatever. Choose your worship song, artist. I don't like what Bethel's doing. I don't like the theology over there. Therefore.
Right. Yeah.
And that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Again, all of which is, it's healthy to examine on an individual basis.
Right.
Again, I don't want it to sound like, oh, these hippies say anything goes. That's not the intent.
Exactly.
But recognizing some of that. And another example I thought of was alcohol, right? This becomes very cultural.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up. I have a couple things to say about Tyler. Well, go ahead.
Okay, so I'll start with just the simple idea of, we can't overlook Jesus' first miracle. Now, I think it's safe to say, at least the church cultures I came up around, maybe not all of them, but it was typically, that's just a no-no. It's on the no-no list, any kind of alcohol. And I think that's fine, and I think that's a healthy reason for that. The problem then becomes when that culture of, all right, you know, we don't drink, okay, cool, but what about when someone else does? Mm-hmm. Or what about the stories about wine and Jesus' first miracle? And I've gone so far as to have the conversation with somebody, maybe you guys have heard this, where when that comes up, and you'd be like, well, you know, there is alcohol in the Bible. There's the wedding. And the, like, yeah, but that didn't have alcohol in it. Have you ever heard that? No. I've had that said to me.
I've never had that. I've never heard that before.
And it's like, okay, this is where you've crossed a line that your preference or cultural idea has become more important than what the Bible actually says.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny one to recite, but it's true. We have a tendency to do that.
I would say, you know, you go back to Prohibition days when there was that time when people were encouraged not to drink. And that was the big thing.
Right.
And then after the Prohibition stuff ended, it's okay to drink, and culture starts to change. What happens in the Christian culture, though, I think, is that the people that were ashamed of drinking are still drinking but not telling anybody.
Right.
They're hiding
that's it.
Not being truthful.
Yeah.
And then there's other issues down the road. Today, there seems to be more willingness, I think, that drinking is fine, but it's if you read the words of God very clearly, I think you start seeing more and more of that as people start preaching verse by verse. Instead of just like giving like topical sermons, but you'll start seeing that the fact that there's nothing wrong with drinking, the Bible doesn't have anything wrong with it except don't be drunk. But I can tell you, I grew up in that household that you're not allowed to drink because my parents' parents, my grandparents, mm-hmm. all sides, mm-hmm. absolute drunks, mm-hmm. and the worst, mm-hmm. going to prison, doing bad things. Mm-hmm. But it was because alcoholism was bad.
Right.
But I'll tell you, this is something, a struggle my parents had dealt with forever, and not until like the last 5 years have they changed their mind on it.
Wow.
Because they realize, you know, it's not, that's not the the real truth in Christianity. Drinking's okay. It doesn't make you a sinner, mm-hmm. unless you're drunk. And yet, again, we're still all sinners. Mm. So,
but again, this is and this isn't even a stance on drinking at all.
No, right. The point is right. That's your culture, though.
It's right. when you go from. But the wine in the Bible wasn't alcoholic. You're just reaching to justify something, as opposed to. This has been a struggle in my family.
Right,
that's exactly. a different thing. Wait,
but let me. But it goes back to. That's why I brought back to prohibition, because I think prohibition's the point here. Time. We mm-hmm. talked about the beginning of this. Culture changes over time. So different cultures, churches have then 50s, 60s. It's a different culture. You have then the love, peace, joy, the hippies. That culture shaped the Jesus movement. Hippies are coming to Christ. They were drinking before.
Yeah.
So that's part of their culture.
Right.
So things start to shift in families a little bit differently. I mean, sure, alcoholism in my family, but that doesn't mean everybody else had it. But those cultures changed to where now we are today. Mm-hmm. It's seemed more frequent and not as like sinful or like looked down upon if you drink.
Well, I think when you say seen as today, I would add to that, seen as in today, it's changing depending on where you live.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, alcohol is viewed differently amongst the Christian community in Germany and then in Canada, a lot more permissive. Mm-hmm. In the States, depending on where you live. But in Thailand, it's still kind of the States 1950s in Thailand, right? And so I've heard a pastor say, hey, Jesus says, right? Now that you're a Christian, we don't, go out, cheat, gamble, cheat on our spouse. We don't smoke anything, cigarettes, and we don't drink like Jesus says, the Bible tells us. And so to your point, like, oh, it doesn't really say it's wine or Jesus says not to do these things. See, that's where it makes me feel, uncomfortable, because we're imposing our own cultural stuff and there's stuff behind it.
Into the culture.
Yeah, and, as opposed to, and I think that's a pharisaical way of seeing it, as opposed to trying to teach conscience and teaching being led by the Spirit. And hey, if it is in your family and you do personally, struggle, that's okay, but don't try to be more righteous than Jesus.
Right. Yeah. I love that line. Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to do because, again, there's this thing we have. Maybe it's tied into wanting to be right, where we feel more righteous. Yeah. Maybe that's it, honestly. Like, I feel more justified, more righteous. And you identify those triggers, maybe something we've already talked about, kids' songs, modern worship, alcohol, and something has kind of triggered because you have a real strong take on it. You may be right in your take, but it's in that moment when you feel that to maybe evaluate a little bit on why that is. Is it because of a cultural thing? If you're willing to be honest, which is not easy sometimes, because when we're so surrounded by whatever it is, whether it's church culture or fans of Star Wars or whatever, the ability to kind of critically think through it and evaluate it for what it is difficult.
And I think thinking through it as in like, so if I know I'm, goes right to Paul. Paul talks about it. You don't want to offend somebody.
Yeah.
So like maybe you have a glass of wine. Maybe that's your thing in your family, right. But it's not my family. But if I went over to somebody's house and they knew I wasn't drinking, hopefully they would be like, I'm not going to drink tonight,
right.
Because they don't want to offend me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't offend me either way, but that should be the idea. That should be the. And that's what Paul talks about. I believe it's in Galatians.
Yeah.
Not causing each other to stumble.
Yeah.
Watching out for each other. Even love your neighbor can be expressed by way of those things. Like some of the stuff you've talked about, Cecil, just over the years, the cultural norms, if we go back to that, things that, like, if somebody you kind of referenced, I think, in the episode that we had before, people that maybe come to visit you or help out and they refuse to do something, mm-hmm. Whatever, taking off your shoes or something they wouldn't normally do,
right?
Because that's not loving your neighbor. Mm-hmm. You're putting your cultural thing before another cultural thing. And in doing so, you're actually kind of working against what the Bible talks about. Mm-hmm.
That's so true. That's good. I'm really excited that we're talking about this. And I wonder if we have enough time to talk about like the cultural way that we handle conflict as it pertains to the Bible as well, like in relationships.
What is
and
it
stuff
in
like that? Yeah, yeah.
Do you strangle people?
Like, yes, right. We're not doing that.
Headlocks. Cecil's all about the headlocks.
It's slow burning, bro. Like I got to breathe in really, really softly. But I just think in the church, in the body of Christ, the way that we handle this, like conflict, you will have conflict, right? But I think maybe part of the culture that we feel here in the West is that, you know, if I have a conflict with a person or a pastor or a preacher or a church or whatever organization, I'm free to just blast them, you know what I mean? As opposed to, I think the Jesus culture and what we try to do in Thailand is saying, hey, listen, it's a shame honor culture. Remember we talked about that yeah. before, the West, where guilt innocence, it's right or wrong and I have my right and I'm just gonna do whatever. And in Southeast Asia, we actually, even if we really disagree with another like pastor's church or what have you, we would probably never bring shame to him and his congregation and his ministry by doing something publicly.
Yeah.
But if we have the opportunity through relationship, we would actually want to go there, meet with them, talk with them, see if we could resolve it, especially the background that I'm a part of, MB, Mennonite Brethren, peacemaking, that's super, super huge. And so anyways, it's actually a shock to me when I see the Christian culture come and just blasting each other without ever yeah. having coffee or lunch. Well.
And the Bible is clear about that. To go to that person.
Matthew 18.
Yeah, bring somebody with you exactly. and first confront them and go over it. It's funny here in America,
yeah.
And I'd say part of Europe as well, the way that they confront is through social media. And usually you're the person online. I can speak to this because I've had people blast me. They will be the ones without like an image of their own face.
Right.
It'll be of a flower or a background on social media that you can't see a meme of them. And they will yell as loud as they can on social media to tell you that you're wrong and or will explain why that you're wrong. And that's the culture we have today. Social media has kind of taken that route where you're right. It should be about, hey, let's go to that brother privately first.
Right.
Then we'll bring a pastor with us and mm-hmm. let's talk this out. And then the public rebuke goes on because they didn't follow through. It's time, right?
I think maybe something that ties into that a little in church culture specifically is asking questions seems to have limits. At least I always felt like it did. Mm. I never felt like there would be those times where, okay, it's another church culture thing. The whole, well, you should just have faith. And it could be like I actually have a real question about this.
Right.
I did an exercise of this church group I'm in. It's actually kind of relevant. Yesterday, and the exercise was, all right, take out your phones and write down a topic, like a real hot button issue that you're honestly not sure about. So that could be abortion. It could be politics. It could be LGBTQ. Takes it like a hot take.
Right.
That you're honestly, you have some questions, you don't know if you quite know. And then he's like, step two is write down what you believe the church in general says about this thing. And then finally, write down what you, at this very moment in your life, what you think about this thing.
Wow.
And he said, now don't worry, nobody has to share that, but usually they're not the same. Mm. What I think the church says about this might be a little different than how I'm processing or what I'm struggling through with it. And I think that speaks also to a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. We couldn't take, in most settings,
yeah.
that thing and bring it up. So I'm trying to think of a safe way to do that. You know, like right. I couldn't bring like a hot political take to someone else that I know is maybe just polar opposite.
Right.
Be like, hey, I really feel like maybe I don't understand this. Why this and why not this? Because it right. seems like... Because, well, of course it's not. Yeah. Like, yeah. we feel weird even about approaching something right. like that because culturally, that's you can't.
Mm. Mm.
I see people shut things down. I'll transfer it over to music.
Yeah.
Jimmy Swaggart, a pastor of the late 70s and 80s, was really against Christian rock and roll.
Hmm.
And if you heard just rock and roll, immediately it was bad.
Mm.
Larry Norman, a singer from the 70s, gets saved. And he comes out with the rock and roll album, and it's there's a song, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? And it's a rock and roll song. Still today, it was a few weeks ago, I was at a youth event, and we're playing, and it goes along the same genre. We're playing some rap. Some Grits is playing in the background. But it was, I think this song was Andy Mineo coming in hot.
Nice.
And I'll never forget, this lady walks up to me, turn that off. We are not playing mainstream music. She said something else. And I'm like, that is Christian music.
Good for you.
And we're staying. That's what we're doing. But immediately,
right?
It just said, this sound is automatically bad.
Right. Yeah.
There's no good to it. Not getting where it's coming from. There's no history. There's no. That's the problem in the Christian culture with some of this stuff that you're getting to about what are certain issues. Is that sometimes I believe in the Christian community, we're not willing to give a listen. Mm. We're not willing to take the moment and say, well, let me listen to what it's saying.
Right.
It may have this sound. It may look this way, but it may not be what you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good.
Or the question that can really diffuse or engage. It's like, why do you say that?
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever ask that question. If it's one of the, if it's the thing that triggers us, the person talks about, well, if we would just vote for, it's never, you know, you get automatically defensive instead of, interesting, why? Why do you choose that or that person or that policy?
Right.
We don't like to engage. We like to tell them why it's wrong or why ours is right, but not find out their perspective.
Would you guys say that that's right really now good. In the Christian world, this Christian community, I'd say for America, America and for its surrounding partners, is that the Christian community is more concerned about politics than just the church? Do you think that's the culture today?
I think I'm not sure how to answer because my gut response to it is so often the two are combined, the church and politics are combined.
But what I mean, here's a great example though. Jesus says, "What is Caesar's is Caesar's, what is God is God's." Like there, it should not be.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be. But that's what I'm saying. I believe today it is so ingrained in the church that the culture for Christianity, for America, is politics.
Well, let me respond.
Where it shouldn't be.
Well, and I would say I'd push back a little bit, my man. I think Jesus actually has a certain politic. I think he has a certain way of seeing the world through his kingdom that affects all of life, economics, politics.
Because
I mean, politics could determine whether or not a baby lives in the womb. Politics could determine whether or not someone's considered slave or 3/5 of a person or segregation, what have you. We go on and on. So I think it's important to people. I think it's important to Jesus, but I think he has a certain way of seeing these things. That I think that the issue is that in the West and in America in particular, because you actually don't see this around the world, that our way of seeing the world and our neighbor is very polarized. It's either one or the other, right?
Yeah.
I think the allegiance to that singular agenda. And I think where that is dangerous on both sides. I'm happy to say both sides. I think Jesus's way is a third way, a third kingdom, to see every single situation uniquely, and he has a certain answer. And I think where each side goes wrong is some sides could identify the problem. Some sides may reject the problem. Maybe I think the resolution, by and large, a lot of times is far from Jesus's heart, and I think you see that. So I think the perspective of not having, you know, Jesus's kingdom perspective of all these situations, I think that's where it's really off.
I think it's key. That's absolutely key. Putting Jesus' perspective over that, your local politics.
Right.
I think there's sometimes where we take it, we do it the wrong way. We take the politics and inject it in because, just like anything, you know, people talk about wars or stuff. You justify anything if you want to justify it. Well, you do it with the Bible. Right? Even if it's completely wrong. Whereas kingdom principles may fall into a political stance here or there, but it's not the other way around. It's not shoehorning them in because
this
is the party of Jesus or whatever.
Right,
that's all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like the people are shoehorning. I think our Christian community, not all churches.
Right.
But there has been a push to see a lot of those politics be pushed and shoehorned into the theology, which doesn't—it's not what it's about.
Because the culture may dictate that for them.
Correct.
So the culture here—that's if we're going back to the alcohol thing. So it's got to be something about alcohol or the culture that ties into, and maybe another episode on this, because you could get into anything, firearms and immigration or whatever.
Right.
But that is like, well, if that's where I stand, there must be a biblical reason. And it's hard to recognize that, I think, usually in the moment, unless you're actually willing to step away, which is again, kind of what we hope this podcast, because we're not necessarily bringing you a whole bunch of answers. If anything, we might leave some people more confused. But the idea of critical thinking, and I'm not trying to overly make it academic either, but the ability to recognize those areas where maybe we have let a culture shape the way we think over mm-hmm. something more important, or simply a willingness to say maybe you've done that, which most of us won't do.
And I was just having a great conversation with your twin brother actually a couple weeks ago about these exact topics and ways in which, you know, kind of my family and I, we've lost friendships and churches and kind of been, you know, ousted, as it were. And I was talking to him about these individual topics, and I was just saying, hey, I was just trying to push back because I didn't fall into a certain camp. And I was trying to push back and say, I think Jesus's kingdom solution is his principles is actually different than whatever option or whatever side. And he was just like nodding his head like, yes, yes, yes. I see that as well. And I think really, to your point, when we're going overseas, we're actually not trying to make people American Christians.
Right.
And that's something that people are thinking like, so you have those Thai people do all these things. And it's mm-hmm. like, that's actually your American Christian way of doing it. That's actually not the way, you know, this situation or whatever a view is seen around the world and for the past 2,000 years. And so I think, you know, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I hope that people come away from this just recognizing Jesus's church and his kingdom has been advancing for 2,000 years, and it is very diverse and it's beautiful, and at times it's complicated, and his heart to these real world situations may not, you know, be an American answer or, you know, what you're used to, but the way other brothers and sisters have dealt with it around the world and for the past 2,000 years should make us humble.
Well, that's where I feel like you nailed it. I mean, missionaries back in the day brought in American traditions, but you guys are aware of that.
Yeah.
That I think that the global servant, mm-hmm. right, global worker, they mm-hmm. today, over the last, I would say, 20 years,
yeah.
Don't missionary that way. Mm-hmm. that's the right word.
That's good.
I mean, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Because you guys, now the goal is to just meet them where they are.
Exactly.
And then develop from their culture.
That's good.
And I think there's one other thing I wanted to bring up in terms of recognizing when it's an unhealthy, because church culture in itself isn't bad.
Right.
That's just, everything is a culture. For sure. Just what is.
Yep.
Yeah, remember was it Life 365,
the youth groups
that you have?
Firehouse 9000.
Event 700.
Yeah. Youth Extreme. But one, I think an actual sign of knowing it's unhealthy is when the culture pushes people away from God.
Oh, that's good.
And there was this quote from a pastor, Preston Ulmer. He said, here's an uncomfortable truth. God's attention will always be with those who are not in attendance. He's talking about church.
Wow.
It's why he sent Jesus.
Mm.
And so sometimes here we are in the walls mm-hmm. or whatever in the church and arguing back and forth our preferences, our culture stuff. God isn't even caring about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's caring mm-hmm. on the person who's not there.
Come on.
He's caring on the person, you know, who's hungover from the night before
right.
or whatever.
Exactly.
And I was reading through, like, some of these verses, they're kind of rough, but I think they're really good. So some of you may have heard Amos 5:21-22. You know this one? I despise your religious festivals. Mm-hmm. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Mm-hmm. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I won't accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. But it doesn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Isaiah. He accuses Judah's worship as meaningless. Malachi talks about it's better to board up the doors of the church than to have contemptible worship.
Wow.
And then, of course, in Matthew, talking about those who worshiped in vain because mm-hmm. their hearts were far from God.
Mm.
So it is possible to do all the right things. It's talking about the gatherings, the assemblies,
right.
much of which are shaped by cultural standards, and have God be like, what even is this?
Yeah, can I just say, as you're talking about this, what comes to mind, and I heard Alan Hirsch and his wife were at certain conferences, and his wife got up and said this. She said, Jesus has a certain type of righteousness and holiness to him, and I'd say culture to him. She said where the people who are drawn to him are people who are on the fringe, those who were hungover, mm-hmm. those who were very lost, who were very far. He had this weird holiness where they were actually drawn and attracted to him. And so she says, what's up with our holiness in the church that those people are no longer attracted to us or the way that we do church in a lot of ways?
That's a good point. Yeah. I think it's so funny. I was just having this conversation about the TV show The Chosen. When you watch it, and they show it. They don't tell you this, but they show it really well, how when Jesus is going to the city of Galilee or he's going to certain places, he's on the outside. He never goes to the people. Everybody's always coming to him. Mm. Now, it's clearly there in the Bible. But it's something that I just always overlooked. Yeah. But when I saw it and I'm watching this, because they're trying to be as close as they can to the scripture.
Right.
But it's true. Mm. People should be drawn to Jesus in you, to the churches that you attend. Though that's why, you know, the ones that are big or that are, hopefully they're being drawn to it because they see Jesus living in it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
It is really good. Jesus is the focus, I think, is the summary.
Yeah.
As soon as we stray from that.
Let him be your culture.
And not all of it is, again, not all of it's bad. We whatever. We have the types of music we like, and we like maybe certain routines, and we have preferences in the churches that we go to. That's great. That's fine. But again, when that becomes more important than the gospel, when it becomes more important than Jesus, and it takes over the focus, or so far as to now I have to justify this thing, that should actually be the sign that, oh, maybe I need to reevaluate that a little bit. Well, guys, thank you. That was a lot of fun to dig into that. I feel that like cool. We barely scraped the surface.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling the same way.
And I feel like we not only just scraped the surface, we scraped the surface about 10 different podcasts.
But I think at the same time, though, I think anybody listening, we struck something on some item, some topic.
Right.
That resonated with you, and whatever that resonated with, and you're just curious about it, you pray about it. Ask, you know, or you need help, find somebody, another pastor at your church, go to somebody that you feel like has good advice, read the Bible.
And if it's one of these hot topic issues that you get real riled about, okay, is it going to be wild?
Say it.
Talk to somebody who has that stance.
Right.
Find out why, not to be right. Not to tell them that they're wrong, but to understand where they're coming from. Because I've done this, and I found that all of a sudden where it doesn't change my view, it's not like I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I just, that sin is fine now. It's not that. Mm-mm. It's, oh, I understand where you're coming from. Mm. This, I never realized that because in my eyes, it's just always been this one thing.
Yeah, you know, and is your saying that, we're talking about education. Yeah, and you mentioned this, and we're... not anti-education. I'm getting my master's degree right now at seminary, right?
Congrats.
But thank you, brother. And when the classes that I'm taking right now is talking about how even like many the Greek philosophers, you know, hundreds of years before Christ would talk about how we're so quick to judge someone's actions and not understand like the intents and purposes of their heart or even where they came from, right? And so, I just feel like to your point, a question for me that I've asked that has been very helpful is, help me understand. You're doing this or think this.
Yeah.
Help me understand.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are many things about the world, and you're talking about politics and policies and issues and hot topics that I think we should have it somewhat open-handed and say, Jesus, if someone could show me through your word, you know, through the, you know, the red letters, what have you, that I'm actually kind of a little bit off, who disagree with me, I want to be, a good buddy of mine told me, Cecil, I'm one conversation away from changing my mind on many topics. If they convince me through the culture of the Bible. And so I think that's what we're trying to bring up.
Just one comparison I meant to throw in there earlier, but I've done some traveling. I haven't done what you've done, but like short trips. And it's so funny sometimes how we can be like, you go to a very poor area of Uganda and you have a church and you're just there and they're so excited and they're worshiping. And in that moment, or maybe in the retelling of that moment, saying it's so beautiful to watch your faith and how they do things. And it's wildly different culture, wildly on almost every aspect, how they do the music, how they do the preaching, what they do before and after church. And then the church down the street, hey, do you hear about that church? Do you hear what, Do you hear what they're doing with their worship? Like, all of this, it's a minor difference, you know? But for whatever reason, we're like, over here, that was really cool and special. Wildly different over here. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. You know?
Once again, as Christians, it's quick to judge, yeah. But also it's quick to gossip.
Oh,
for
man.
For Christians.
100%.
We do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, right, yeah, totally could. But I mean, it's stuff like that. I mean, I was at an event the other night. We did it's called Unity in the City.
Yeah.
And there were 10 different churches in one different church. And everybody's coming together, praying different ways. People were praying different ways. Somebody spoke in tongues. Mm. Somebody prayed silently. Mm. Somebody he was like, this church is 3 times bigger than the church I go to, and I've never prayed in front of over 5 people. I don't know what, so good luck on what I say next.
Yeah.
You know, but what you got was the heart, and you got the heart of God. Beautiful. And I think it's important. So yeah, don't judge. You never know what you're going to see until you step into God's, I said God's kingdom, God's church. God's church is just his people.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you believe Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you can also trust that he's strong enough and good enough that you don't have to be swayed by a cultural thing or worried about it.
Mm.
It's, again, it's not a stance against like anything goes. It's more of a, guys, love God, love people.
Mm.
Make those the priorities. Make everything else secondary,
thirdary,
fourdary.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this got you to think a little bit or engage in a way that you haven't before. Thank you, guys. I know we said we were going to try to go a little bit shorter this time, and we didn't, like, at all. But thank you guys for listening. Hey, real quick, if you would, it helps us so much if you are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Those are the two that let you rate it, like with the 5 stars, leaving reviews. That actually is huge in helping us get the word out there. So please do that. Consider It Joy is a production of 88.3 Life FM out of Bakersfield, California. You can listen to us every day if you want to. 883 Life FM app. You can hear us on the radio there. But thank you for being here. Cecil, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much, fellas, for inviting me.